It's episode 118 of the Nerdcast.
Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. You are listening to the Nerdcast, but what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
I was waiting for a comment.
A thoroughly unspecial episode.
No. We're all back. Adam, Aaron, Tyler, myself, and as Tyler pointed out, a unspecial episode because Aaron and I have returned. And for those that listened last week, Tyler made sure to point out that it was special, not only because they had Anne and Noah on, but mainly because Aaron nor I were here.
That does actually make it special. Like, it's different.
Right. By the like strict definitions of special, it is different than the normal. Therefore, it's special because it's something new, unique, different.
We had special guest stars and everything. It was a very special episode. I don't know if we taught anyone a lesson about not doing drugs or anything, but.
So not after school special.
No. I mean, like, you know how they would do a very special episode, you know, ripped from the headlines, like. Jesse Spano on.
That's the exact one I was thinking about. I'm a maniac. Great. So I think you guys always want to talk about Fantasy Movie League right out the gate. So I figured we should go there. Shouldn't we? Should we talk about last weekend?
Let's do it.
My first win of the season. Still only beating Aaron. Even with that win, it was a very close week, though.
Well, this week was crazy. Yeah, most of us were within 5 million of each other.
So I'm still not only in fifth, but I think it's like, 33 million away from Jared in fourth place for the season still. So even with a gratifying victory, the only person I'm beating is the person who, one, can't set her own lineup, and two, couldn't convince anybody else to log in and do it for her.
Aw. And still kicking butt in first place. Way to go, Anne. Congratulations.
So she's in first place overall?
Yep. She's in first place with 437, then down to Tyler at 422. Then I'm at 416. Jared's at 405, and you're at 362. And then Aaron way back at 300.
So, yeah, the gap between Aaron and I is almost the same between Jared and I. And that's sad because Aaron's not even been playing. And I just got a victory and it still didn't do anything. I don't know. So I bet against Batman versus Superman, which was a good bet. I think most people did. Tyler, I'm pretty sure you still had it. You still went with it for one.
I did. I still went with it. I mean, it was still number two at the box office because it came out for me to get. Like, I spent every single one of my dollars last week, but I always try to spend as much of it as I can. But
and it didn't look anybody got the what do they call it when you get the
perfect lineup?
No, the best. What's the title? That's
someone
like the
got one
top performer.
One person got one of them, I think, unless they changed the title totals.
Top performer ended up being the boss, and I think all of us were not expecting big things from that. Not for the dollar amount that you had to spend to get it.
Which is dumb, because Melissa McCarthy is a box office draw every time. And, again, you saw the boss dethrone Batman vs. Superman, which, I mean, it didn't take much to dethrone that. That's top of the box office. However, Melissa McCarthy... probably a solid bet for week two as well, because she doesn't go away very quickly.
It's just free-falling Batman.
Yeah. Yeah, they're saying even after that huge first weekend, worldwide, over $500 million in the first weekend, and they don't even expect it to hit a billion now.
Yeah, I mean, it just now passed Deadpool over the weekend and still hasn't caught Zootopia. Now, granted, it came out, you know, 2 or 3 weeks after Zootopia, but still hasn't caught it.
All right, so that about
I hope you die.
That about does it for Fantasy Movie League. Adam is recruiting Tyler back. Weird gap right here is not even 10 minutes in, and we experiencing some technical difficulties. So apologies if our audio is off a little bit or if Adam mysteriously disappears. Although, Adam, you should have seen your face frozen. It was, we tried to scream about it in time.
I'm glad you couldn't. I don't, nobody needs to see my face.
All right.
I have a face for radio. We all know that.
I'm going to screen cap. I think Aaron's now asleep. We've lost everybody. Tyler's still got the video game on behind him. But anyways,
we can see the TV, Tyler.
Yeah, you can't hide
that. I'm not sleeping. I'm totally awake.
We are going to power forward for our fans for episode 118. So anyways, Fantasy Movie League, The Boss, Melissa McCarthy, safe bet for weekends to come, always at the box office, although you do have a couple good size releases this weekend.
I mean, that Jungle Book, man.
Jungle Book, Barbershop 12 or something. I don't know.
Three. I believe it's three.
Only three, really?
Well, they had
Beauty Shop.
They had
Beauty.
Yeah. No, you don't count Beauty Shop because it's got a different name, Iggy, obviously.
Yeah, but like Jurassic World is still like a Jurassic Park sequel.
I suppose.
See?
But at least it had a character in common because the T-Rex shows up at the end. So,
Touche. All right. So, go see Beauty Shop 3, Barbershop 4, whatever it is, in this weekend.
It'll be whatever. It'll make money.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
So, and Deadpool's still at the box office, so even though Batman vs. Superman's caught it, if it keeps going as far south as it has been, Deadpool still might pass it again. So, enough box office news, enough fun, exciting Fantasy Movie League, because Iggy won news. But something that Aaron might have some interest in, I think, Adam, you posted it Tuesday, which would be today. Tuesday. I'll do it for her since she doesn't.
You're not doing it right. You have to say Tuesday.
Okay. So IDW is bringing Kurt Cobain to the comics.
Yeah, they've got a run that they're going to be doing. Interesting, you know, about who killed Kurt Cobain. I think is the working title. I'm not positive on that.
It is.
So that should be interesting. I'm intrigued, to say the least.
Oh, well, we all know that Courtney Love, that crazy bitch, did it. So, I mean,
no need to read the comic anymore, I guess.
I'm excited. I'll read it. I read all the books that tell all the evidence. So this is great. There's more damning evidence, you know, that they'll be more accessible to the masses. I firmly believe that Courtney Love had it done, but you know, it's cool. We'll all see.
You sound like one of those people talking about.
Shut up.
Like the moon landing.
Don't say it. Shut up. You don't even know. Do you know all the evidence? Cause I do.
Well, there goes.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I read the files from the police station in California, Seattle.
You sound like a crazy person.
I read all the files from the police of this event that
when I was three.
Well, I did read lots of books on it when I was in high school, and it all seemed legit to me.
All completely unbiased and nothing but the facts.
Hold on. Let me just say this: the book that I read that provided me with like over the top evidence to me, a 17-year-old when I was reading it, that it's something shady. Like, you know, maybe Courtney Love didn't do it, but there was definitely something fucked up with Kurt Cobain's death. A lot of people would admit that. But it was written by a guy, who was, he took most of his evidence from, okay, sorry. I'm just going to start over. So Courtney Love hired a private detective to find Kurt Cobain, like after he went missing, before they found him dead. And he found so many weird things that he started investigating for his own personal self and looked into it for himself and uncovered all this questionable evidence. And that's what most of the book was based on that I read. So, anyway, he thinks that
she's something there, but the way you're talking about it is in this weird, vague, like there's some really controversial evidence. Like what?
There is.
No, there's some evidence there that's super controversial.
Well, I mean, I could go into it, but everybody should.
No, there was some stuff.
You didn't ask me any of that. I was just telling you that it's crazy.
You sound like a crazy person.
You stop it. I could go into the details, but you're not interested.
By the way, this private investigator made a considerable amount of money releasing this book.
Yeah. No, it was written by somebody else who used his account.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I know. I'm not saying that someone
her own father thinks that she did it.
I'm just saying that, like, this is one of those Occam razors thing, drug addicted, depressed.
Hold on. No, I know it seems like he would have killed himself, but he was trying to get a divorce from her, and there's evidence that says he was filing for divorce. He had been to his therapist and said that he was going to go file for divorce. Courtney Love had approached an hitman to try and have him killed prior to this, and then suddenly he ends up dead. He ends up dead, by the way, with three times the lethal heroin that should be in somebody's body, and somehow he managed to kill himself with a shotgun. And then the door was locked from the outside.
So,
and he was found dead in the home that, like, she couldn't find him, but he was in their home. Like, that doesn't even make sense.
So
I'm telling you guys,
okay.
Stanley Kubrick built a soundstage in L.A., and he put all this dust on it, and they made these suits. And why don't you, I mean, I'm just saying, the shadows aren't right, the way the flag hangs there. There's a lot of evidence. If you look at the pictures, I mean, just take a second and look at the pictures. It was bullshit. They did it on L.A. on a soundstage.
In other news, the Powerpuff Girls are also coming to comic books, or at least back to comic books.
Yay.
Not nearly as important as them coming back to television.
Yes, which is also a fact awesome. There. No controversial books released in regards to who killed any of them, so safe topic.
That's what you think, Iggy. That's what you think.
I don't know.
I've got a scathing expose on Mojo Jojo that is just waiting for the right publisher.
It's true. You won't write it and make the money, but somebody will use your account. That's right. So anyways, a lot of comic news actually came out of Emerald City Comic Con. So bringing that up, we did have our street team there. So no booth set up at Emerald City, but some members on site, cosplay galleries, of course, up this week, but as well as interviews and some other coverage. But as we saw, especially in our press email, Emerald City Comic Con is, I think, becoming the spring one for comics. And it's funny because Matt pointed out that, you know, there wasn't as much cosplay as what he saw from the photos in C2E2. And it really seems like, I mean, C2E2 is definitely not getting away from comics. Artist Alley is fantastic there. It's huge. But it seems like they really magnify the cosplay at C2E2. And maybe because of that, more and more of the comic announcements and the bigger panels are starting to come out of Emerald City. Either way, Reed Pop benefits.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there were some fairly decent announcements at C2E2.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Yeah. And at the same time, we haven't historically seen these shows in the spring be used for these types of announcements. They've either just been whenever or they've been held until the summer for San Diego. But I think as other types of media steal the show at San Diego, you're seeing more and more from these other shows, especially Emerald City, which Emerald City is a huge show too, and does cater very much to the creators. So number of interviews, like I said, and cosplay galleries on the site as part of our Project Nerd 2016 Project Nerd Tour. And yeah, C2E2, Emerald City Comic Con. I think next we're at Free Comic Book Day, Book Expo America, Cheyenne Comic Con, Planet Comic Con, all before the end of May. So quite a bit going on through the month of May there.
Yeah, super busy. Who signed us up for all this stuff?
What the heck?
And you have to be at every single one of those, Adam. By the way. So, yeah, forgot to mention that.
Awesome.
So get those bags packed. We're sending you all over the place. But yeah, a lot of great content. And we do have good teams going to different shows there. So we'll help us spread the love a little bit. But if you didn't see it on our site, of course, check out the many other sites. Like I said, Emerald City Comic Con News, tons of it coming out. Pearl Jam art book was announced. We mentioned the Kurt Cobain comic story. Powerpuff Girls accompanying the return to TV is their new comic book. Goodness gracious, James Bond. The Varger series was so popular that they have another miniseries coming out over for that one, as well as just a number of other great things. So comic book news galore. And of course, unfortunately, at the time of recording, Project Nerd Publishing is also working on some updated comic book news, but I don't have the ability to talk about it yet. And I also forgot.
Yes. I know some details.
Well, head on over to pnpublishing.com, PN Publishing. So the letters P, the letter N, and publishing.com. And hopefully those releases will be up sooner rather than later. Additionally, I didn't bring it downstairs for recording, guys. I wanted to show you, I have this beautiful full color Radiation Day comic book now in our possession, just arrived today. So our third comic book for Project Nerd Publishing. Pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, you know, thanks for just rubbing that in and not actually sharing. We appreciate that.
I have a few hundred copies actually upstairs that I could share. But Radiation Day, of course, from Brett Jones and Chris Yarbrough out of Kansas City, and they'll be at Planet Comic Con where we'll have that available. They released Radiation Day about 2 years ago to some great warm welcome, some great success. But it was in black and white, and our own Brian Timmons, who's also doing the artwork for Barons, which is just around the corner, went in and added some awesome color. So Radiation Day number one in full Technicolor, as we're saying, is now available through Project Nerd Publishing, pnpublishing.com/shop or pnpublishing.storenv.com. Go pick up your issue for just $5. Awesome. But it's a fun read. Post-apocalyptic, buddy cop type thing. Can't go too wrong with that. All right.
No, sir, you can't.
So we are, I guess, comic booked out here. We're moving through pretty quick, but comic books, movies.
Guys, I did end up reading Batman the Long Halloween.
Yes.
If we want to talk about comic books a little bit more.
How'd that go?
It went really well. So I didn't know what I was getting into, really. And so I sat down and it's like, oh, you know, it's like 9:30. I'm old. My wife and I go to bed really early. She gets up early to go to work and stuff. And so we're like, oh, it's 9:30. We'll go ahead and just lay down and go to bed, you know, get in bed, you know, read that kind of stuff. And so I was like, oh, I'll read a little bit of The Long Halloween and then I'll go to sleep once I get tired. Finished it that night because it was really good. So ended up staying up for a little longer than I was expecting, but it was really good. I enjoyed it. I could see... I could see why there's a Christopher Nolan quote on the cover of the book that I bought. There's definitely some of that with, you know, Gotham's crime, families being involved. Enjoyable book. I liked it a lot. I thought the art was great. Tim Sale, fantastic. I really, really liked the art that's in there.
Tim Sale comes back.
Like it's definitely like a quick read. It's what, like, it was like 13 issues originally? 12?
13 issues, yeah.
And Tim Sale keeps coming back to Batman, and I think that because his art style does lend well to the character and the stories in Gotham, so I agree. It's a good one. I always like it. Highly recommended. Tyler and I were there when you picked that. When you picked that little, adopted that baby straight out of that comic box.
And
you were.
Despite what Iggy might say about him, I like Jeff Loeb, so.
I just...
you kind of shit on Jeff Loeb a little bit.
Well, I mean, you know, there's what... 90s Jeff Loeb, and then there's more recent Jeff Loeb. It's kind of like Frank Miller. There's late 80s, early 90s Frank Miller. Then there's like, what have you done?
No, that's all. Frank Miller is kind of the same Frank Miller when you really get into it.
Maybe it's just something you get tired of, I guess, then after a while.
Yeah, I think you grow out of Frank Miller. Like the Dark
Knight. When you're a teenager, it's really cool to be that guy. But when you're an adult, you're like, that guy's kind of a, turns out he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to take anything away from The Dark Knight Returns because it'll always be a classic. But then you start reading, you know, Sin City and 300 and some of the other stuff. And you're like, oh, okay, maybe not. Maybe not so much.
Sin City's got some good stories in it. The cool thing about Sin City is that it can all kind of go together. But then you can also get those standalone stories that just work for themselves. And that allows you, I agree, there's some in there that you just read through and you're kind of like, eh. Like, was this issue just for the boobs, I guess? I don't know. But then there's those other stories that are really good. And the Hardigan story, which they adapted in the first movie, I think is still one of my favorite. And then Marv always will be one of everybody's favorite Sin City characters. And, of course, Mickey Rourke, fantastic Marv. So I will give you Sin City's hit or miss, but I mean, how long of that was too of a run was that? There's tons of volumes.
Yeah, no, that's true. I don't know. Sin City was always worked for me just because of like the noir setting and the art for it. But a lot of the stories on it are pretty thin when you get down to it.
Some of them feel the same too. Like you'll go to a different story and it's like, I feel like you told us, which is different characters already, but I don't know. Frank Miller, not knocking on him. He's doing better than we are. As of right now, further we get into this, you know, we might be writing more and more on these comic books we're releasing. So there is a story in development, more teasing for Project Nerd Publishing. But anyways, so Long Halloween, Adam liked it. Way Too Late review going up today. When this
it should be up today. You should be able to find it right now on Project Nerd. And I think that my favorite part about it, and I put this in the review, was looking through those bins of trades, trying to find books I wanted to read. And I had some in mind. And I remember I saw the Batman Long Halloween. I'm like, cool. I bet that's interesting. But I was looking for other Batman books. And then I got to a Spider-Man, the Short Halloween was the name of the Spider-Man trade. And I'm like, that's kind of funny because it's like that other one. And I mentioned it to like just in passing because I know Tyler likes Spider-Man. I'm like, hey, they got the Short Halloween. That's like that Batman the Long Halloween. And you both like stopped immediately what you were doing. Or like, wait, they got Batman the Long Halloween? Yeah, dude, get that book. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it's definitely one I'd say is a must read. I would say it's one of the better Batman, you know, trades that you can get these days. Not my favorites, but one of the better ones. I think one of my favorites is actually the one that people think is a good one, but when you lump it in with some of these other really good ones, they're like, is Hush really as good as these other
you
ones?
You love Hush, don't you?
I really like Hush.
that was Jeff Loeb too. Like
I'm not saying anything there against him. I'm just saying I really like Hush.
Hush, I mean, isn't up there, but like Long Halloween is one of the quintessential like trades that you have to for like the Batman Renaissance between Batman Year One, Dark Knight Returns, Long Halloween,
Hush,
The Killing Joke.
Yes, The Killing Joke. Actually, The Killing Joke might be my favorite, but that's a really, really short one.
Maybe like Death in the Family. I don't know.
I think you need to read Death in a Family. I don't know if you'd lump it. That's going to be one where it'd probably have the argument of Hush to where it's like, yeah, you should definitely read this one, but maybe don't lump it in with some of these titles. The Killing Joke.
You got to get these others done first, yeah.
The Killing Joke's a very quick, short read, fantastic, very Joker-like ending, and just Alan Moore, just really anything Alan Moore. Go read it. But I don't know. So what's next in the comic book world for you, Adam? I know you read tons of books, but what's next on the
Man Who Falls. Place? That's one. That's probably one of my favorites. I was trying to think of it. I couldn't think of it. The Man Who Falls. I was working on it. I couldn't come up with it.
He always comes back around to it, though.
Uh-huh. Or Nightfall. Nightfall's up.
He's going to be listening to comic books that you would read, Adam, for the rest of the episode.
Adam, you might as well just go now on whatever it is because he'll jump in over it.
Next for me, comic book. So The Long Halloween was the first comic, like extended comic book series that I've ever read. I did Squitter, which was a four issue run that I really enjoyed, but that's definitely shorter.
You also wrote a review for that.
I did. I liked that a lot. But this was 13 issues, not terribly long, but the only like continuous story arc that I've actually completed in comics. So next I'm looking at probably either The Watchmen or Saga.
Both good. Watchmen, you know, Watchmen's complete. Saga's still going, you know.
Right. So I'm probably going to do Watchmen as my next comic book that I read.
I would say Watchmen over it. Saga is definitely one of those ones that's just from every critic, every publication, everything like that just gets praise. It's definitely one of those ones right now that's considered to be one of the best.
I'll throw out, and it was also the same one that our friend John from Last Worst Comic Podcast Ever threw out was Why the Last Man, because that's done now. And I think that's a really, really good one.
Confession, I bought volume one, read it, loved it. But I never got around to picking up the other volumes on that one.
I first heard it at C2E2. I haven't bought any of them, if it makes you feel any better. No, Saga, I'm excited about Saga because I bought a print for some friends at C2E2 from an artist in Artist Alley. And we were talking while they were getting stuff set up for me or waiting for my card to go through. They're like, oh, well, you know, do you read a lot of comics, stuff like that? I'm like, no, but I'm just getting into some. I just bought some. I'm really excited about reading. And when I mentioned Saga, like, their whole table just completely freaked out. Like, they were super excited. Like, oh my gosh, you need to read that book. It's so good. So I'm excited for that one, but I'm probably going to do Watchmen first.
Great read. So outside of comics, a big video game did drop this week as well. Dark Souls has returned.
And I've died a lot already.
Tyler can barely pull away from it for the podcast.
It was having trouble. I was playing I just got home from work about an hour before this, and I played for an hour. And I finally got through this section that was giving me trouble last night, and then I came around this corner. There's a goddamn dragon, landed on top of the castle, blowing fire. It's cool, got past him, no big deal. Then I come around another corner thinking, oh, maybe it's finally bonfire time. And here comes this giant armored knight that's super fast and just wrecked me. So that's where I'm at right now.
Knight.
It's not going well. And I need to kill this dragon too, or at least get him to fly away. Some stuff.
Adam, did you pick it up yet?
I did. I had to run to the store after work today, and the grocery store happens to be located directly next to a GameStop. That is simply fortuitous.
How convenient.
Right? Yeah, it works out well for me. So I definitely picked it up. I have only played for about 45 minutes. I got home and had some things I had to do and then had to get ready for this. So I just enough basically to create my character, get into the world, and find a giant dude with a sword in his chest that I could remove. And I thought, hey, this will be good. I'll take the sword out of this guy's chest because he's totally going to be okay with that. And I pulled the sword out of his chest and he decided he needed to kill me, which he has done twice so far now.
Have you done much damage to him?
Yeah, I had him down to about 10 or 15% of his health left the last.
So he went into
my second time through. Oh yeah, he morphed out on me like a jerk. Yeah.
Yeah. When they go into like crazy abomination mode, shit gets real. Just a fair warning, you're going to find some just random run of the mill lame looking zombie guys, and if you don't kill them super fast, they'll just randomly turn into those and it's not good.
So, initial impressions sound good, I guess.
If you like the Dark Souls games, so far so good from what I can tell, yeah. They got a couple new classes, so that's exciting. Giving you a couple different build options to play with, so.
I like it. It's definitely faster, I feel like. I feel like it's a little bit quicker. I think they took some stuff from Bloodborne and 2 and went and put it in there. And I feel like there's merit to using different kinds of weapons this time around. Like, I feel like in Dark Souls 2, you got to a point where it's like, if you're not using one of these two or three weapons, like, don't bother, because it's going to end poorly for everyone involved.
So I know Aaron has identified me as a non-gamer. So I don't know, is this a game like a non-gamer could pick up and enjoy?
I think I would enjoy this. Sounds like
Aaron
something
would
I would
break
enjoy.
Something, and Iggy would just stop playing after a half hour, I feel like.
Wait, why would I break something?
It's the most infuriating game that these series of games. Like, people, I have an extra controller just in case something goes really
wrong. Yeah, I don't want to play. Never mind. Because I'm already getting mad thinking about how many times I would die now. I don't want to play. Just kidding.
In the hour between me getting home and us starting this podcast, I died at least 15 or 20 times.
Nope. No, thank you. Nope. I'm not even going to ever pick it up.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, Tyler. I think it's really about, because you die a lot, and that's okay. Because the deaths to me all are very fair. Like, if you can kill a guy in 3 or 4 hits, but it takes them 30 or 40 hits to kill you, like, that's not fair in terms of video game comparatively. But in this game, pretty much everybody, not just the bosses, the regular guys that you find, they can all kill you pretty easily, which, again, I think is fair. And when I die, it's because I did something wrong.
More often
than not, it feels fair, even though you die a ton. Yeah,
the game doesn't cheat in its difficulty; like, it's super fair. And like, after the first two or three encounters with a bad guy or a boss, if you die, it's on you. The problem is the mechanic. I mean, it's, and you feel a super sense of accomplishment when you get past a boss or get past a section, and it feels fantastic. The problem is because of the way the mechanics work in the game with bonfires and saving and stuff like that. Like, you'll run through this one section. Like, let's say from here, bonfire here to bonfire here, there's like five or six different like little sections, and you'll spend a few deaths figuring out section one, and you'll spend a few more deaths figuring out section two. Because every time you die, you have to go back and do one again, and then two, and then three, and then four. And the problem is like, you'll finally get to five and like finally feel like you've got five figured out, and then some piece of shit zombie will kill you back in section one, and you'll be like, fuck this, I quit, I'm done. I don't want to ever play this game again.
I've said those exact words, actually. not with this one yet, but with every other game by From Software, that exact sentence has left my mouth, yes.
I know,
but we're having a great time, so.
And not just y'all, but a number of people. I know that majority of my friends list on social media has definitely shared some kind of picture or comment regarding with either that or the new Destiny content that's out this week as well. So I don't know if Adam had his PlayStation on to make sure he got that downloaded too. Busy day for Adam.
It was. I mean, that was part of the delay in not starting Dark Souls right after I got home from the grocery store was that I needed actually the Division update and the Destiny update, and then had to load and download the update for, I guess not download the update, but load Dark Souls in as well. So my PS4 was doing a lot of work today.
And completely off topic, but going back to an earlier topic, I want to laugh so hard at this, not to get political, but right across my screen while you're talking came across a picture of Courtney Love with Hillary Clinton. Courtney Love supporting him. I was just like, oh, so I didn't know Aaron would like that one. But
I think Aaron might actually be asleep.
She looked
I'm
like
not asleep.
It. She looked like it.
I'm just sleepy.
So that was just to throw that out there because it was funny because I don't know the last time I've seen a picture of Courtney Love until she just got brought up today.
She looks like she's carrying around the weight of 25 years of guilt.
Does she? Does she, Aaron?
Well, it's 20, actually. Years.
Or 20 years of heroin. I mean, one of
the probably both. Maybe both. I don't know.
Yeah, both.
Anyways, so Dark Souls, Destiny update, the Division update. April's just a crazy month for games. Let's go that way with it. In fact, this week on Project Nerd, Sarah posted her April's most anticipated games article, which included Dark Souls. So let us know, as always, in the comments what you feel about any of those games, the new content updates, how many times you're dying, how many controllers you've gone through, how many F-bombs you've dropped while playing Dark Souls. We always like to hear those great stats.
All of them. And all of the F-bombs.
And even if you're a non-gamer who's checking it out, let us know what you think. Erin won't judge you too harshly. She just picks on me.
Somebody who doesn't play games shouldn't sit there and call themselves a gamer. That's all.
I play video games.
How many games one must play to be able to call oneself?
We already went over this.
Oh, no, not this again. No.
We already went over this.
No. Oh, man.
You kids play nice.
Hey, let's talk about something we can all agree on.
Got something?
I do. So we just got Force Awakens out on Blu-ray and DVD after it being in theaters in December. It's out, and then in December we get Rogue One. So what's the best thing that you could have in the middle point to kind of sandwich those two things together?
Peanut butter jelly sandwich.
You could have in August showings across the country at Alamo Drafthouse of the original three. Tickets go on sale May the 4th for August 6th showings.
Really? That's an early ticket.
Well, there's actually quite a few shows across the country, but the one here in Kansas City, they're actually doing it at the Midland, so like a bigger theater, like a bigger venue than the actual draft house, the downtown draft house. But Saturday, August 6th, they will be showing all three. I say the original trilogy, it's the special edition of the original trilogy. They're not that bad.
No.
I'll say it first. They're not that bad. Other than the Han and Greedo thing, they're not that bad. Some of the added effects aren't that bad. I know that's what do you call it?
It's not that they're not that bad. It's they're completely superfluous. They're unneeded.
I know. But
you feel that way, Adam?
As a perfect halfway point to between now and Rogue One, we will get. I don't know. What's the closest one to Adam? How far are you from Louisville?
Kansas City's probably actually the closest.
Fair enough.
And I will say that my birthday is also the first week of August. In case you guys needed something to get me, I'll
pay for the movie ticket if Tyler gets you the plane ticket or gas.
I was going to say, I'd buy the tickets. I don't know how to get you here.
If you get me tickets, I can get to Kansas City. I'm not worried about that. Gas is pretty cheap right now.
There will not be a showing in Denver, it doesn't look like.
Really? They just haven't announced it yet. That seems odd.
No. They are doing, I'll tell you the one that I kind of want to go to, the Long Center for Performing Arts in Austin, you know, home of Alamo Draft House, is doing a 3-day Thursday, Friday, Saturday night event where they're doing each of them one night outside under the stars, which I think would be pretty badass.
Although Texas during the summer, outside, even at night.
It's going to be 117 degrees and you're swarmed by mosquitoes.
Just warning you.
Mosquitoes as big as your face.
Mosquitoes are already pretty bad here.
So, well, cool. Check it out. Yeah, that sounds interesting. I'll have to see if it does eventually make it to Denver. If not, maybe we'll just have to join Adam for his birthday in Kansas City.
What up?
Let's do it.
So,
what else is going on? Oh, we're missing it. I think, what time is it? It's probably happening right now. After we get off this, it'll probably be on the internet. The first trailer for Doctor Strange comes out tonight.
Correct.
And I'm pumped.
Yeah.
They released the poster today and it looks good.
The poster, the images have looked good. You know, convinced on the casting for sure, all the way around.
Yeah. You guys saw the photos of him buying Doctor Strange comics in a comics shop in New York dressed as Doctor Strange, right?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Was it real?
Yeah.
A real thing?
Oh. Yeah, during filming of the movie, he went into a comic shop to buy the Doctor Strange comics as Doctor Strange.
And I mean, he could have had anybody do that for him. Why did he, as Benedict Cumberbatch, the crazy person that he is, well known among the nerdies, do that?
Why not?
Benedict Cumberbatch does what he wants.
He was dressed as Doctor Strange. If I were playing Doctor Strange in the Marvel movie and there's a comic shop like on the block we're filming in and there are people inside of it shopping for comics, I'm definitely going in and buying comics.
What's the same story as what's his name who plays Punisher in the new Netflix series when he was on one of the late night shows?
Jon Bernthal?
Yeah, when Jon Bernthal was on one of the late night shows. Sure. He said not even that. He went in there to buy comics and he's loading up on Punisher comics and goes to the counter and the guy looks at him and goes, I know who you are and you can't mess this up. So I am going to give you these Punisher comics to read because these are the ones you need to research. And that was before I guess they started filming too. So
mm-hmm. You can't have these comics. I'm selling you the good ones. And if you screw this up, I will find you. And I will do what these comics do.
It seems like that.
Speaking of Benedict Cumberbatch, they started filming season 4 of Sherlock this week as well.
What is up with this week? It's
great. That is terribly exciting, yeah. My wife's been jumping up and down pretty much at all the news announcements.
So much geek going on. We've been pouring news posts and press releases onto the site since late last week like crazy because of it all. It's hard to keep up with. But yeah, exciting. So hopefully
What did Dr. Laura think of the newest Fantastic Beasts trailer?
I don't know. They're coming up at the end of the semester. I don't think she's actually seen that one yet. So I have to... Basically, any of this stuff has to go through me. And I've been filtering quick images to her because at the end of the semester, like things are getting a little bit serious in terms of paper grading and final exam writing and that kind of stuff. So nothing long has made it there yet.
That's just a 2-minute trailer. She can handle it. Although she may watch it 10 times in a row.
Right. There's going to be a 30-minute freak out afterwards. So it's not just a 2-minute trailer.
So speaking of internet reading, I did read a little quip. Tumblr, always the best place to go for anything, really. But I read a little thing regarding somebody talking, a very big Harry Potter fan, who shared that they are so excited to, once their kid turns about 8 or 9, they're going to read to them the early Harry Potter books. They're so excited to read it to them. And then when it's 11, they're going to convince them that they really are a wizard and they're going to go to Hogwarts. So they're going to send them the letter. And they said, so they're going to take them up to the train station in between the two platforms and then just let them run right into the wall and just see how it goes. I was like, wow, that is pure evil and hilarious. So,
oh yeah, the internet's definitely good for evil, like soul crushing evil of 11-year-old children.
That's their own child though, that they're going to do that to as well. Although, I mean, it's pretty funny. I hope they video it.
How heartbroken would you be though? Like legitimately, that Kyle's just going to lay there for like an hour crying.
Yeah. The kid won't even care about his broken nose. He's going to be destroyed that it's not real.
Yes.
I don't know. Fun evilness there to their own children, but that would be quite funny. I can imagine the people at the station just watching this and being like, and then there'd be that one watching and go, ha, I know exactly what's going on here. So, yes, Tumblr, always exciting for things of that nature. But Harry Potter, yeah. So new book out this summer too. So you have a new book and then, yeah, the movie out. That's December as well, right? Or is it? It's sometime in the late fall at least. But another book, J.K. Rowling's just going to be rolling in the money.
I don't think anybody's ever made that pun before. That was probably the first time.
probably. Erin likes puns, but she didn't seem too fond of that one. So
it was really lame. That was like the worst pun you've ever done.
That's why I figured you weren't too fond of that one. Thanks.
Sorry about that.
I figured it was pretty lame when Adam was the first one to make fun of me for it. So it's pretty bad when Adam even pulls out the.
Like, usually there's no such thing as a bad pun, but that was like, yeah.
That was like, yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for the feedback. I'll keep that in mind next time I make that same exact pun on a future episode of the Nerdcast, because it'll probably happen. So anyways, so a lot of trailers dropped, which was crazy. Speaking of that, let's go in that. When's the last time the MTV Movie Awards have always been there? They've always been a shining moment for MTV, even back when MTV had music and stuff. Like,
and it was like an actual station.
Yeah. Even now though, and it's teeny bopper reality shows, that's all it airs. It the MTV Movie Awards are still looked upon as, hey, fun. But when was the last time it was this relevant that so many series debuted trailers, movie clips, like behind the scenes and stuff? There was all kinds of stuff that just came out of Sunday night. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know the MTV Movie Awards were going on. And I was trying to figure out why late on Sunday night did we get like three new trailers behind the scenes for movies like next year of what the new King Kong movie or it. What was it?
Skull Island.
Yeah, Skull Island. Thank you. Like, I'm like, why is all this popping up on a Sunday night? And then it was like, oh, during the MTV Movie Awards. And I'm like, wait a second. So I was trying to figure out when I thought about that, I'm like, when is the last time that there was this much like this much behind it, like this much excitement and new stuff. And like, people were like, oh, you got to watch the MTV Movie Awards to catch all these new trailers.
Because they're still owned by Viacom.
Touche.
I mean, it's the same reason that Jimmy Kimmel Live gets literally all of the amazing Marvel trailers. If you had a choice of any late night show to debut your trailer on, I don't think Jimmy Kimmel's the one that you would normally pick just based on ratings alone. But when he's the late night show that's on ABC, he's going to get all of them.
True story. But I was still shocked by, I don't know, MTV Movie Awards. So,
well, what all shows got the?
The only thing I know is Ryan Reynolds obviously won for best comedic performance in Deadpool. That's the only one I know that won. And supposedly too, there was Salt and Pepper with a dance crew of people dressed like Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds all did a musical number on stage. So I should probably check that out. It's got to be somewhere on the internet, I'm sure. But that would be fun. But other than that, I know nothing. And other than, excuse me, the trailer premieres and that, I know nothing about what happened at the MTV Movie Awards.
I think tell us about some of these trailers, Iggy.
I think Tyler's looking it up, though. Well, what we talked about it, the really kind of covered it all. Like I don't know.
Those were all at the Movie Awards.
Well, you're the new
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them was premiered. The updated Ninja Turtles trailer, the new Ninja Turtles trailer premiered. Behind the scenes filming of Skull Island, you know, the new King Kong movie. So those three things in particular. I will say though, the Fantastic Beast is not Viacom though. In the end of the day, that's Warner Brothers. However, Ninja Turtles is definitely falling under the Paramount umbrella, and so is
Those are Nickelodeon movies, aren't they?
Yeah,
the Ninja ones. So yeah, that's Viacom.
Yeah, so that's what I was saying. It's definitely falling under there, but I don't know. Still relevant. I think, Tyler, did you find some categories, some wins? Is that what you were looking up?
Oh, I don't care. I was more curious about the trailer. That's what I was asking. It's like, what other trailers premiered?
Well, that's about it. So that's our coverage of the MTV Movie Awards. If you want to know who won anything besides Ryan Reynolds winning for Deadpool and besides the Salt and Pepper plus Deadpool performance, you're going to have to go elsewhere to find that out. And we're okay with that. But Adam laughed hysterically there. Tyler disappeared for about a second, but he's back. So I
don't feel like you're allowed to know those things off the top of your head once you're over 30. I feel like that's against the rules.
Probably. Like,
I would think less of someone who is my age who was able to tell me, oh yeah, did you hear that blank to blank won blank to blank at the MTV Music Awards?
One best like, kiss, right? Because they do a best kiss category.
Probably not be friends with them anymore.
I
would have to reevaluate our friendship.
I support you on that decision, Tyler. I support you on that one. So yeah, those premieres at the MTV Movie Awards, Jimmy Kimmel getting, of course, as I said, the Doctor Strange trailer, number of other exciting news stories popping up all over the place, new video games to play, new comics, exciting new comics, Gwenpool, number one, premieres this week as well. So the Spider-Gwen became a huge hit, and then they did a little tease to where there was Gwenpool, so Deadpool mixed with Gwen Stacy, and became super popular. You're seeing some cosplays pop up of it, but a lot of popularity with the character. So they, I don't know. I think it's just a one shot or a mini series. I can't remember which it is. I know it's not an ongoing series, but either way, a chance for Marvel to make even more money, to steal more of my hard earned cash.
Yeah, I was gonna say I feel real sorry for those guys. So I'm glad they are. I'm glad they're gonna find something that'll make them a little bit of money finally.
Yeah,
that makes me feel good.
Struggling lately, especially with all those movie adaptations that just aren't going anywhere, huh?
Yeah. Well, and like they just like all the they've been doing screening, like press screenings for Civil War, and the early buzz has just not been that great. It doesn't seem like anyone likes it. Oh wait, no, wrong movie. Everyone thinks it sounds like the best Marvel movie to date and have been going about it. I don't get the Gwenpool thing though. It doesn't make sense to me. Is it just part of the all things Deadpool?
She got bit by a radioactive Deadpool. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that's
it. That totally could be it. She doesn't look to be like disfigured in any way, shape, or form. Like her costume shows the bottom half of her face and a whole lot of leg, and there's definitely no like Deadpool esque scarring or anything like that.
He's showing them legs. You can't scar them up, that's for sure. But no, I think it's just something that kind of got teased at the right time because Deadpool, I mean, for anybody who didn't notice, Deadpool was already popular then when this movie came out. It definitely took off. But I don't know if I told you guys, I finally did see the movie, by the way.
Did you?
I was like the last one in like the world to probably see it.
Pretty much. What'd you think?
It was fun. It was good.
That's so underwhelming.
My favorite part.
The most underwhelming movie review that you've ever done in your whole entire life.
It was, it did a very good job of, I was very worried. And Tyler kind of brought this up too when we were talking about it early on. Very worried that they were going to be too over the top with it. Because in the Deadpool comics, he does a lot of things, but it's not over the top. Like, it's not every page is just filled with language. Every page is a fourth wall break. Every page is, you know, some kind of... Well, no, most pages
some of the Deadpools are now, but it wasn't traditionally.
Exactly. So the movie, I think, did a good job of going a little bit over the top with some things, but also not getting too far away from the character in the comics and having fun with it. They did a really good job of just having fun all around with it, I think. And
quite possibly the best love story in a comic book movie to date.
opening credits were really fun. I was not sure if those were real or something messed up on the movie I was seeing. Of course, the couple of comments, just like 16 walls was probably my favorite comment. I think I laughed for 5 minutes straight after that comment. The best thing about the Ryan Reynolds comment, for anybody that doesn't know, is before Ryan Reynolds ever played Deadpool, Deadpool made comments about Ryan Reynolds not looking like Ryan Reynolds. And so the fact that they were able to work that into a movie with Ryan Reynolds playing him is purely fantastic in every way. It's just fantastic. And then, of course, I love the Wolverine stuff that gets thrown in there as well. So that's fun. But I don't know. It was fun. I laughed. I mean, it had its moments. It was great. It was, it wasn't life changing, but it was definitely
not over the top with the over the topness.
Exactly.
Just the right amount of it. I think they found the sweet spot real well.
Yeah. It's something that I look forward to the sequel. Really excited to see more what they can do with it. And I'm excited that it's opened the door for possibilities of movies like X-Force and other things that need a hard R rating. But as we're talking about movies and as we're talking about R ratings, that's something else that I just got reminded of. Baywatch, the movie, received its rating this week. It's going to be rated R, guys. There's going to be a rated R Baywatch movie starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Zac Efron. And supposedly I'm sure a lot of females.
I was totally not on board with any of the words you were saying. Then you said starring The Rock and Zac Efron. I'm like, yeah, I probably guess.
So if you're not familiar, Baywatch, the movie, has been filming all winter because you film a beach movie during the winter, obviously. I mean, I want to go to an exotic beach all winter, so I don't blame them at all for this. So they've been filming it, and it's just supposed to – and they're embracing the cheesiness of the original television series. But to hear now that it's going to be rated R makes you really wonder, what direction are they going with this movie here? Because I have a feeling it's not going to be due to any violence that it's going to be rated R.
I feel like Baywatch the movie will be as to Baywatch the TV show as 21 Jump Street is to 21 Jump Street the TV show. Like, let's take the basic premise and then just make it a raucous – gross out comedy.
I could see that, and you've got the formula kind of already in place there, even so. That makes sense.
And who knows? I mean, let's be honest. If you do a slow motion bikini beach run, right? Like, that in itself should be rated R.
That's true. That's true. Just so you know, so I pulled up the credits real quick to see who's all in it. So Alexandra Daddario and Priyanka Chopra are the two female leads, and then Kelly Rohrbach. David Hasselhoff is listed.
I was going to say, we gotta have the Hoff in there somewhere, no. Like walking, or, you know, back in my day, we didn't do this kind of craziness.
Definitely listed under the credits. So if you're not familiar, Alexandra Daddario is the young lady from the Percy Jackson movies. So she's looks like to be the main lead in there. Chopra is well known. She does tons of movies back in India, but she did a few here that she got a name for. I can't think right off the top of my head though. So, and I could be lying. I don't know. But anyways, she's fairly popular actress too.
I'm looking at some production stills here while you're talking, and I've decided that I am on board with this.
I you got to see it just for pure for research, so we can talk about it on the Nerdcast, right? That's the reason to go see it. I don't know. As soon as they really announce it, I'm like, at some point in time, I'm going to see this movie. Like, I'm just expecting the worst. But I do love Dwayne Johnson. I think he's a fantastic actor. And especially when you put him in something that can be comical, when it's supposed to be like unintentionally comical, I think I'm pretty excited for that. So Tyler is sharing a screen with us for some of these screen stills. And
I really liked him in The Rundown.
Yeah, exactly. So
where he is the serious part, but there's so much ridiculousness going on around him.
That's probably, and yeah, you can put him there. And Zac Efron was hilarious in Neighbors.
So. Oh man, Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Tyler's on board.
Tyler's just looking at all the swimsuit shots there. So crazy enough, though, it comes out in 2017 and they're already saying it's confirmed as an R rating. So it must be very cut and dry that this isn't borderline at all. That, yeah, you know what to expect going in.
Yeah, they're not editing out a couple F-bombs just to clear it up.
I don't know if it's the F-bombs. I think it's more of those slow motion beach runs as Tyler was talking about.
Slow motorboating?
Possibly. In both sense of the word. Motorboating, I feel like there's going to be a lot of motorboating in this
movie. Yes, yeah.
However you want to interpret that motorboating, I have a feeling there's going to be motorboating in this movie. Both in the water and on the water. So, anyways, Baywatch, that's a great way to pretty much cap our episode 118. Whoever thought in the year 2016 we would cap our Nerdcast episode with the discussion of Baywatch, but we did.
And which we all want to see, apparently, because yeah. We all want to see the possible...
The slow-motion motorboating.
Yeah. I mean, I am a little disappointed. Never mind.
I kind of want to encourage this to go further because I want to know where that was going to go.
Did you guys notice that the boobs weren't very big?
That's where I thought it was going to go.
We're not in the 90s.
I mean, I'm not
boobs era.
I know, and that's wonderful. People don't need to be getting fake silicone boobs. And I'm sorry for being such a bad human being. That's why I shouldn't have said it. I just, you know, that's what I think when I think Baywatch is boobs.
Well, Pamela Anderson, I mean, she had so much boob that it transformed into just one giant boob at some point, right?
It did. It did morph into the one boob. The one boob.
I don't know. And that's why I feel like the reason why boobs will forever be linked to Baywatch, because of her alone. Although I have two words for the original Baywatch regarding the original Baywatch series. Yasmin Bleeth.
That's what I was going to say. Like, Pamela didn't really ever do it for me. Yasmin Bleeth, on the other hand, big thumbs up.
That was where it was as a young man in the 90s watching Baywatch reruns. So, anyways. So,
and then changing the channel when anybody walked in.
Well, no, you could keep
it. It was on ESPN.
Go sports team. Go. So, all right. Well, we got a few minutes to do some closing thoughts here. I will let Adam or Tyler start. I won't even point to Aaron because never know what's going to happen there with the closing thoughts. So final thoughts. Adam, would you like to kick us off?
I would. You kind of touched on it before, but lots of big news over at projectnerd.com. So definitely make sure you check that out. And let us know what you think about that stuff as well. We love getting those news items from our partners. And we want to make sure you guys get that stuff as quickly as possible, but let us know what you like. Let us know what you think about those new news pieces. Keep reading books. I'm still working on finishing New Dawn, so close. Yeah, hope you guys are enjoying all the awesome news we've been bringing you recently.
And to elaborate on what he was saying, we also welcome nude stuff from our partners. So you can do that too. News, however,
news. No.
Don't send nudes, please.
I said from our partners, so I didn't mean just anybody. All right, Tyler, final thoughts.
If it's going to take him a second, Paul Rudd was on Rich Eisen in full Royals uniform gear earlier today. So
yeah, that's obviously
pretty fantastic. Like new gold trim Royals?
Yeah. He had the
opening day hat and shirt jersey?
Yes, that's, he did.
I wanted that jersey bad.
Every Friday now. Not even just opening day. Every Friday home game. So.
Friday home games. Oh, they'll be rocking them, yep.
They're hot. Well, it helps that like gold is already part of our like color scheme.
We've lost it. All right, Tyler, final thoughts.
I don't know. I really don't have anything. I just need to get back to...
He's like, let's just wrap this up.
I need more Dark Souls.
All right, Aaron, are you going to go, Tyler? Or no? No? All right, Aaron, are you chiming in this week?
Yeah. Please let me chime in this week with something very important. I think that
as long as it doesn't involve
Kurt Cobain, needs to be. It doesn't have to do with Courtney Love. It has to do with people educating themselves and just, you know, knowing the truth. If she would go to jail, that would be wonderful. But, you know, I didn't bring her up this time. You did.
I'm going to make Aaron a The Truth Is Out There shirt with a picture of Courtney Love on it.
I would love that.
I want to see that. I hope that's ready by Planet Comic-Con.
So. I would wear it. And right. I would wear it not sarcastically.
Okay. All right. So final thoughts for me is if you're in the Denver area tomorrow, Saturday the 16th, we will have Project Nerd Publishing set up for its first public event over at Mr. X Comics in Thornton. Every time I say Mr. X, I think of Arrested Development, because I want to say it like Mr. X, you know. Anyway, so for those of you that watch Arrested Development, but anyways, Mr. X, yes, as in the letter X, Comics and Thornton. You can Google search it and find out where to be. It's on Washington Street, just south of Thornton Parkway. But come visit us, check us out. We will have that Bulletproof Kid number one, Radiation Day number one, and Tobacco Stained Mountain Goat number one for the first time available for you to pick up in person. So pretty awesome. This is our first little event before we head into what we said was a crazy May with a free comic book day. And then our first convention premiere with Planet Comic Con, May 20th through 22nd. But again, April 16th, noon to four, Mr. X Comics for Project Nerd Publishing. But if you are interested in following this fun trail that Project Nerd Publishing has been on so far, before we've even set up at a convention, we have some more exciting news for you before the month closes. So keep an eye out for that. And then again, if you can make it to Kansas City in May, that's when we're going to be fully stacked with a lot of stuff. Barons will be there. A couple other special things. Blue Moon will be a print. So everything and anything goes on.
Yeah. If you come buy a comic from us in Kansas City at Planet Comic Con, I will rub my beard on your comic.
All right. That's an incentive right there. I was thinking you were going to go with a hug, which is also another incentive, but the beard rubbing on the comic, on the back cover too, so it doesn't scratch up the front cover for you.
What if somebody just wants to touch your beard? Will you let them do it for free?
Probably.
No, they need to buy something.
They got a better chance if they buy a comic, though, for sure.
There you go. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So that's it for another fun episode. I thought it was pretty fun. I thought it was almost so fun that you could.
I'd even say special.
Yes.
Probably. Special. Yeah.
I mean, we talked about Baywatch and the MTV Movie Awards, guys. Welcome back to the 1990s throwback episode. We're calling this one throwback. So throwback, flashback Friday. That's what this is right here. So
no.
Tyler's enthusiasm. Tyler's enthusiasm.
Dark Souls 3.
More exciting.
That's 2016. So
let us know what's going on. If you're playing Dark Souls, of course, picked up the Destiny updates. If you checked out any new comics out, Gwenpool, new trailers, feedback. There's so many amazing things you can give us feedback on. And of course, check us out at Mr. X Comics tomorrow on Saturday. Other than that, same nerd time, same nerd channel. We'll catch you next week.